Grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Today we hear a story of family separation and reunion. The emotions are all over the place. Great joy and fuming rage. It's not a real story. It's a parable. But the characters are so vivid and relatable that they are like real in our minds. So Jesus told this story to a group of Pharisees and scribes. The Pharisees were a movement of laymen who dedicated their lives to walking a holy pathway. They spurned sin and earnestly resolved to align their thoughts and actions with godly living. They'd been watching Jesus. And when they saw Jesus associating with people like tax collectors, people they clearly saw as living an active life of sin, they could not hold their peace. They didn't just grumble. They grumbled and they grumbled and they grumbled. Every time Jesus' name came up, there it was again. That man, he eats with sinners. Jesus should spurn these people, not welcome them. His fellowship with them gives the impression that they're okay, and they're not okay. So Jesus tells them the story. He wants to tell them the truth and the true measure of love's scope. He begins with, there was a man who had two sons. He goes on to tell the story so familiar to us. The younger son approaches his father one day, and he requests to receive his inheritance now. He doesn't want to wait until his father dies. And it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. You know this kid is going to blow through this money. Don't do it! Don't do it! We yelled at the father. Don't do it! But he does do it. We can read between the lines of the story. Older son is left at home. He is now the only son, and he watches his dad's grief. He witnesses firsthand how his father suffers over the loss of this self-absorbed younger son. So now, the older son pulls double duty. There's only one son now, and when there used to be two, all of the responsibility, all of the chores fall on his shoulders. He knows how his father's heart broke when, we'll call him Junior, left. He's just determined not to falter or fail his father. He's fierce in his loyalty. When the older son thinks about the younger brother, his heart just boils with molten rage. Good riddance to my younger brother. He deserves what is coming to him. His brother is dead to him. Now, meanwhile, the younger son has blown through all his money, like a dog followed in his nose and got lost in the next county. He is far, far from home. He's penniless. He's homeless. Desperate for means, he finds work for a pig farmer. A pig farmer? A Jewish boy is feeding pigs? Jesus reaches the turning point of the story. He says that the son came to himself. It is the moment when the bubble burst, and at last he could see clearly. In 12-step terms, he hit the bottom. He hit rock bottom. The moment he hit as he was throwing slop to the pigs, he turns his head towards home. He returns knowing that things will never be like they were before. he'll no longer be a son. He died as son, and he knows that, but he'll be content as a servant. But as the younger son crests the hill towards home and walks that familiar path, his father sees him from afar. The father knows that gait and the bob of his head. Dad runs to meet him, his returning son. The son, he's blown it for sure. He squandered everything that the father had given him. In a matter of time, he lost a significant portion of the estate his father so carefully managed and grown. Even worse, this son had carelessly shrugged aside all allegiance and human caring for his father and family. And now he comes crawling back. But the father regards him in only one way that a father knows how. As a father, he welcomes him back. The lost estate means nothing to him. The sleepless nights and worry vanishes. He thought his son was dead, but now he's alive. There is no judgment, no spurning. There is only joy. Story over. Not so fast. This father, remember, had two sons. The older son comes home after a day's labor in the fields, and he hears music, and he smells meat, steaks burning and grilling. "What's going on?" he asks a servant. "What's up?" The answer he receives causes him to see red. All his resentments, all his hatred for his brother boils over into a toxic rage. How could his father do this? After his younger son had treated him with utter disregard, after he had wasted his father's estate on wicked living, he wasn't sure who he was madder at, his father or his brother. The older son, he refuses to go into the festivities. He stays outside. There's more than one way to be lost. The younger son he was lost in anger, lost in self-isolating. He was lost in bitterness. He was lost in negativity. He was way over his head. He was drowning in hatred. The older son didn't understand the depth of his father's love. But that same peculiar depth of love now comes to rescue him too. It comes to restore him to himself. The younger son had come to himself. Could the older son come to himself too? Could he return from the land of rage and hatred? Could he find his way home into his father's love? Jesus tells the Pharisees the story of a man who had two sons. They had grumbled and grumbled for so long, it had become a way of life. Their hearts were calloused. As Jesus tells them this story, they likely saw themselves reflected in the resentment of the older brother. The Pharisees were strong in faith, for sure, but weak in love. They were so caught up in a economy of right and wrong, they had lost sight of the central element of God's character, that be love. Jesus himself was the measure of that love. Here was divine love standing right in front of them. The world would come to see the full extent of that love in Jesus' crucifixion. It's a love that establishes our communion with God. Jesus came to seek the lost, lost humanity. He forged a new way to our heavenly home. And along that way, he has reconnected us with each other. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.